I believe. Help my unbelief. In today's story from the Gospel of Mark, the man's cry for his child is deeply moving. This is one of those accounts of Jesus' ministry that really tugs at my heartstrings. Here we have a man coming to Jesus out of concern for his son, coming for help for his son, who has been suffering a terrifying, confusing condition since childhood. It is tempting for us today to say that we know what his son had. We know what it looks like, but the condition isn't really the point of this story today. It sets the stage for the man's profession and Jesus' response. The challenge and the man's pain and fear are real. And when he says to Jesus, "If you are able to do anything, help us, have compassion on us," we know what Jesus will do. Amazingly, Jesus does even more. Jesus said to him, "You are able, if you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." I love the man's comeback. "I believe, help my unbelief." His response speaks to where many of us are today. Most of the time, in fact, we struggle with faith. We struggle with belief. We know we believe, but we also struggle with unbelief. Faith is a struggle. It's not an easy fix to everything. It's often the most difficult fix. It's also the most challenging fix, and it's often the only fix we have. This Lent, we're taking a look at some of the bad theologies and the poor beliefs that often plague us in our Christian faith and our practice, and we're giving them up for Lent. Today, we're giving up the idea that faith fixes everything. Faith is not about quick fixes, but about trusting in God. Even though the difficult circumstances might be real and oppressive, we are called to trust in God. In today's gospel story, we discover that the boy's condition is overwhelming. He is racked with seizures. He's in danger of hurting himself or others. And this is causing great fear and despair. Our struggles may be different. What we face as challenges in our lives may be very different, but they can also be just as debilitating. Illness, financial hardship, political strife, relational brokenness, spiritual dryness. We face many problems, and regardless of what they may be, any and all of them can be just as true and debilitating to our ability to believe. It's easy to lose faith in others, lose faith in the goodness of others, lose faith even in God. Difficult situations often challenge our ability to believe. When we're honest, we recognize ourselves in the dad. We hear our own voices in his voice, saying, "I believe, help my unbelief." An important point to remember is that faith is not a magic wand. Faith is not about fixing everything instantly. Faith is about trusting in God, even when we're not sure or certain, even when we have a multitude of doubts, even when we can't see our next step in front of us, even when we are challenged to believe. We may have lots of questions, we may have lots of doubts, and that's good because it's honest and it's open to the reality around us and to the presence of Christ's grace among us. When we ask questions, when we consider, when we wonder, we are exercising the steps of faith. I began in our children's message today with that very idea. I do this about once a year in my ministry. I'm going to do it today as I did in the children's message. This is a chair from the fellowship hall. It's made of metal, so it's going to be strong. Sounds kind of strong to me. Yes, I've seen lots of people sitting in the chair. I've probably sat in this chair myself at some point in some time in the past. But you know, here in front of all of you, the real problem would be that it would probably collapse under me this time, right? Don't you think? So I need a victim. Who in the choir would like to be my victim? Let's see. How about Sean? Yes. Sean, I would like for you to come, and I want you to take a look at this chair. And I want you to tell me, do you think that that looks like a nice, sturdy, strong chair?
He changed chairs.
Oh, he's checking the bottom of it, and he's reading manufacturer's notes.
Yeah, I'm reading the listing and make sure it was tested properly.
So you think it's strong?
So far, so good.
Uh-huh. You think it'll pass the muster test of holding my weight?
Oh, I believe.
You do?
I believe it will.
Does it look soft?
Yes, it does.
Will it not hurt my butt when I sit on it?
I don't think so.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I'm not so sure. Would you test it for me?
Of course.
Thank you. Hey, that's pretty good. Wow. He even has his legs crossed. Can you lift both of your legs up so that it's just all of it? There you go. Can you bounce up and down? There you go. Yeah, okay. Now, that's pretty good. It holds your weight. But, you know, you're a lot thinner than me. So I need somebody else to come and sit on. No, I'm not going to do that to you. Don't worry about that. Thank you, Sean. Give him a hand. So it's made of metal. I've seen other people sit in it. It's been checked to see about its manufacturing, and it's okay. It's got soft cushioning. It sounds sturdy. And I just saw Sean sit in it. So I've tested it. I've exercised some of my doubts about it. I've asked questions about it. But you know, I'm still not sure that I want to sit there. So I think I'm going to come over here and sit down next to Linda. How are you doing, Linda?
Just fine.
You are?
Yes.
Now, did I just exercise faith in that chair?
Not yet.
I began the process. I'm asking questions about it.
Talking all around it,
walking all around it, testing it out, and all that's good. But until I actually put my posterior on this chair, I didn't have faith. But now that I have, I've exercised faith. I took my belief, I tested it, and then I put it into action, and sure enough, it's proven true. Faith is an action. It's not just a belief. It's an action that you take based upon your belief, sustained by your confidence that what you believe about something is true. In this case, what I believe about the chair holding me is true. And that's true for just about everything. When we take our belief and put it into action, we have faith. And that is what Jesus was calling forth from the man that day. If you believe, anything can be possible. And I love his response, "I believe, help my unbelief." Faith requires action. It also requires persistence. It requires an emotional and spiritual persistence, a willingness to keep going even in the face of doubts or unbelief. In the story, when the disciples asked Jesus why they couldn't deliver the young man, and he replied, "This kind comes out only through prayer," that emphasizes the importance of our spiritual perseverance. Prayer connects us with God when our strength feels insufficient. Prayer connects us with others when we gather together to pray as a community. It becomes a means of grace for us to strengthen us in our doubting times, to give us an opportunity to look and see and believe and then act upon our beliefs. Persistence is a key element in genuine faith. Not giving up, but pressing forward is key for acting in faith. The father was desperate, unsure of what Jesus could do, yet he believed. And we face the unknown, an illness, grief, or fear, yet we believe anyway. Faith doesn't always answer why, but it strengthens us to keep on going, to keep on walking in faith, even despite the oppression, the opposition, the challenges, the dangers that faith often opens us to. 60 years ago, way back in March of 1965, faith leaders and political activists led by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Representative John Lewis, James Reeb, Hosea Williams, C.T. Vivian, Jonathan Daniels, and many others led protesters in crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. They tried several times to make the march from Brown Chapel AME Church in Selma to the state capitol in Montgomery. They were protesting for voting rights for African Americans. The march was stopped on what they call Bloody Sunday, March the 7th. And again, with more brutal violence, 2 days later on March the 9th. But on March 21st, they made it. With the protection of federal troops, they made it across that bridge and reached Montgomery, the Alabama state capital. Their persistence in protesting, their unwillingness to quit, and their faithful steps, step by step, arm linked in arm, helped to lead the passage of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Despite the evil, injustice, and oppression that sought to overwhelm them, they learned that God's grace was with them. They knew that God's grace was with them. They leaned into each and every step of faith across that bridge and down that road to make a witness for the civil and equal rights of all. They leaned into their faith in God and in others, and they overcame oppression. Their courage in the face of violence and hatred reminds us that faith moves us forward, actively forward, even when fear and doubt try to hold us back. Their witness, their example should inspire us to see that step after step in faith can change the world, because it most certainly did. Faith doesn't fix everything. Saying that it does is a gross oversimplification of a spiritual truth. It's an oversimplification to the point of a harmful lie that can endanger self-recrimination, engender rather self-recrimination, and endanger people spiritually and emotionally. Faith doesn't fix everything. but it can fix us. It can give us hope and persistence in placing our beliefs into action. Faith can change us in ways that we could never anticipate. "I believe," he said. "Help my unbelief." So often we struggle, and that's good. We must recognize and acknowledge the struggle of our faith. We must recognize and acknowledge it for it to grow, for it to do us any good. We need to wrestle with it. And there's nothing wrong with wrestling with our faith, when pulling out the doubts and examining them and questioning them, when opening the scripture and saying, "What does this mean? How can it affect me? Does it have anything to do with me? How can I live it? How can I believe it? How can I share it with others?" We struggle in our faith, and that's a good thing. "I believe," he said. "Help my unbelief." We only move forward, we only cross the bridges ahead of us, when we recognize the validity of our struggles, our doubts, and our questions, and start putting our faith to the test. Then, when we do that, we grow spiritually. Then, when we do that, we can say, "I believe, help my unbelief." Let's give up for Lent this wrong-headed notion, this erroneous idea that faith fixes everything. And let's take up the honesty and the openness of the man's cry, "I believe, help my unbelief." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people sing.
Dwell in your